It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus as we study the book of Exodus, and we're in the Exodus chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading with the 18th verse, probably the 17th verse. So please that you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 7, verse 17. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, because we want to get right into the study today. Exodus chapter 7, begin reading with verse 17. Thus saith the Lord God, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, and they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the rivers, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also, and all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. We're going to get into the 8th chapter today, but let's begin with prayer as we've read the close of the 7th chapter. Dear Father, I thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time. It's a wonderful time to be able to open your word and to study it. I thank you for this opportunity, and I ask that you will touch every heart with your word today. I want your word to touch the hearts of each and every believer that is listening today. Those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, they may grow and be closer to you and know the way and will for their lives that you would have for them. And also, Father, please that you would touch the heart of each and every person that's lost, does not know you as their Savior. They need salvation. They have to have salvation. And please, dear Lord, that today be the day that they will come and they'll turn to you and be saved. Father, please show them there is nothing they can do for salvation. You have completed the work. All they need to do is accept this free gift. They need to come. And by coming, we know, dear Lord, that when they truly turn to you, they don't just say some words, but truly turn to you, their life will change, and they'll be made new. And it is wonderful to watch a young believer to grow. So please today that new birth come today, that they come to the cross of Calvary, they turn to you today and trust in that perfect sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, we spent some time last time we were together, and we have looked at all the plagues that are going to be found in the land of Egypt and upon Pharaoh and his people because of their ignorance and because of their rejection of the Word of God. God's Word says, let my people go, and he refuses to do that. And so, first of all, why we have 10 plagues, and we're going to be going through each one of those. And as we started, earlier, why we had the rod, and the rod was laid down. It turned to a serpent. And if you'll recall, if you were with us, and I hope that you were, but if you weren't, why, we can kind of catch up a little bit. There's actually 11 different examples that are given here, but 10 we're calling plagues. The other one is just a demonstration of God's power. And so they laid the rod down, and the rod turned into a serpent. Well, so did the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt. They did the same thing. They laid their rod down, turned into serpents. But the rod of Aaron and Moses that had turned into a serpent ate all of their serpents, all-powerful God that we have. And so we find here, the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out into the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shall thou take in thine hand. And so now we're about to begin to turn the water into blood. And that again is really the first of the plagues upon the land and upon the people of Egypt. And we find here that the first is the water into blood, the next is going to be the invasion of frogs, next is lice, then flies or beetles, next is the cattle is diseased, the next is boils, next is hail with fire, the eighth is locust, the ninth is 3 days of darkness, and the tenth is the death of the firstborn. Those are the 10 plagues that's going to come upon the nation of Israel. The question was asked, let my people go. And in this showing here, what's going to take place is that Pharaoh's not going to get saved, but the people are going to really see, Egyptians and Israelites alike will witness the power of God. And it's going to be a miraculous showing of his power. And we need to, and that evidence and that power will not quit. And it will continue through the travels of the Israelites as they go on through the Red Sea and on to Mount Sinai, and then all through the Egypt, through the wilderness, and then on into the land of Canaan. And so quite a trip, quite a voyage they're going to take here. But to get the people out, we find first that Moses was weak in faith himself. You know, the people won't follow me. Pharaoh has turned, and when I asked that the people be released, why, he took their straw away, and they still had to make the same number of bricks. And so, you know, Moses went back to God, and God says, go to Pharaoh, and lead my people out. And he says, you know, Pharaoh won't listen. My people, the Israelites, my brothers and sisters, they won't either. They won't listen either. And God says, go to Pharaoh, tell him what you're going to do, and then do it. And so that was the first one. The second one here, why we begin, and we're going to turn this the rivers and the ponds and everything into blood. And you'll notice that each one of these curses, each one of these plagues that are coming against the nation of Egypt, the land of Egypt, is against one of the gods of Egypt. And so it wasn't that God just took decided, hey, I'm going to turn the water into blood. Oh, I think it's time. Let's release a whole bunch of frogs. Let's turn the lice loose. It was nothing of that. God is in control. You know, people are worried about all kinds of things today. You know, the storms, whether it's the hurricanes or it's the floods or it's the tornadoes. There's so many things that are news today. They do one thing, and the only thing they know is fear. They have to use tactics of fear in order to get us to listen. If they'll put something out there that scares us half to death, why, they know the next hour or the next day, we're going to listen in, see what's happening, what's coming. And that's so sad, because most of those things, many of those things never come to pass, whether it's a worldwide famine or some flu epidemic that's going to come. We need to trust in God. We need to trust in Him. We need to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we need to watch Him deliver us through. And you know, I love the ones that was placed in the fiery furnace, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they didn't say, God will deliver me. They didn't say that. They said, God can. If God chooses to deliver us, we will praise him and serve him and honor him. If he chooses not to deliver us, we will praise him and serve him and honor him. And so please, as we go through each day, whether no matter what the disasters are, don't focus on those things. Get your eyes set upon Jesus Christ and serve him no matter what is going on around you. Please, that you look to Jesus Christ as your Savior. The God that this is about to attack here is the God of the Nile, and it's Osiris, O-S-I-R-I-S, the Egyptian god. And so as we look now at that god and we look at this time, we find that what's going to take place, it says, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Verse 15 is where I'm at. Lo, go against out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river brink against he come. When he comes out, the rod which was turned into a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So you see, there's several things to be gained here. Number one, Pharaoh, he's not going to trust in the Lord, but he's going to know that the God of the heavens, the God of Israel, is a greater and the only God. And all his little gods are going to be destroyed. And he's going to literally destroy himself and his empire by his ignorance. And we do the same thing, you know. We choose not to come by faith to Jesus Christ. We can build a great empire. We can build a mighty business or a great nation or anything else that according to the world. But when the time comes that our life is over, we're going to find out that that was just a waste of time. Because if we're not doing something in service unto God, our whole, you know, we're going to hand our estate on to our children. We hand our estate on to our children. That estate is, you know, many times the children or the grandchildren or great-grandchildren, it's very soon that they begin to squander that, and they begin to live very wild lives because they've never had to, they've never been told no. They've never given any direction. You know, set your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Set your life in giving and support of the work of God. And God's given us his local church that we may give out the word of God. And I hope that you're in that local church, a good Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. And I hope you're there. I hope you're supporting the church. I hope you're working in that church. And I hope that that's your life. And it's not to build some great business. It's important that we make a good living, that we can support the work of God. It's not that we're not to work. We're to work very hard. But please, that not be your God, I guess, is what I'm trying to tell you. We're going to hit here, and this is one of the gods that's getting hit by Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is finding, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in thine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. The fish that is in the river shall die. The river shall stink. The Egyptians shall loathe to drink the waters of the river. This Nile is the life of Egypt. It's the life of everything. It's the life for them. It's the life for their livestock. It's life for their crops, everything. As this Nile River would overflow each year as it would come down, it replenishes all the necessary nutrients to grow a wonderful crop. And so as they come together here, and this waterway not only takes away their drinking water, but it also here it's going to take away their food source. There's going to take, and it plus, it just stinks. And that's what he says. us here. And verse 19, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, Take thy rod, stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon thy streams, upon the rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, and they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone." You see, it wasn't just that he touched with his rod the river and it turned to blood, but every body of water did too, all the ponds, even the vessels of water that was stored, it turned to blood. And Moses and Aaron did so, at verse 20, "as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters with that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died. The river stank. The Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt." It wasn't just at the river. The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. Now, I'm not sure what happened here with the magicians as they was coming forth, the sorcerers, and I don't know whether the blood was a progressive thing. It just continued to move from this pool to this pool to this pool, and the old sorcerers here and magicians, they decided that, hey, we can do that, and so they touched the river and it turned to blood. Remember what I said about the serpents earlier in this chapter? Satan is the god of this world, and Satan is powerful, so very powerful. We don't give him credit for the power and the strength that he has. He has no power to save. He has no power to give eternal life in heaven. He has no power to have your sins forgiven. He has no power to give you any peace or any joy in your life. None. Now you say, "Oh, I'm really happy. I own this, this, and this, and I am really happy." You better check your heart, because you're not. And there's going to be a time very shortly when this day is done, this life is over, and you are going to be, you're going to wake up, you're going to die, you're going to wake up in hell. And that's where you're going to spend eternity. And this river of blood is going to be nothing compared with the agony and the pain and the suffering that's going to be in that place. Pharaoh chose to reject the word of God. God says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No." And the magicians, they even seem to have made it worse. They could do it too. Well, how foolish is that? How foolish is it to make more serpents other than they try to duplicate what God has done? And they try in their way then to show that, hey, I can do that, I'm more powerful, even though it took some of their clean water away from them. That's how foolish and how dumb the magicians are. They said, you know, if there was a miracle here of the magicians and the sorcerers, they could turn the blood that's in the river now back into good water. But they couldn't do that. You see, they couldn't do that. Let's see what happens here. Verse 23, "And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to do this also. And all the Egyptians digged around the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. For 7 days this went on." What a horrible time, what a terrible time, what a desperate time that these Egyptians were looking everywhere trying to find water, and they would dig here and dig there because they were hopeless and helpless. And that's exactly what you are today if you don't know Jesus Christ. Please come to Jesus today and trust in him and begin to walk with him. I ask you today that come to pass. Now we get to the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter, we're going to get into the invasion of frogs. This is a second one as we take a look at it. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go that they may serve me." The request is brought forth once again. "If thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs." You see what Moses and Aaron is doing? They not only are telling Pharaoh, asking Pharaoh, "Let my people go," they're also telling Pharaoh what's going to happen if he doesn't. Now, this man, he just will not accept to let God's people go. They're all his servants. He's not going to let them go. He doesn't care about eternal. He's got all his gods. Well, one god has fallen, the god of the Nile. The very life of Egypt has fallen. Now, you think about that in that manner. Now, the second one here, a frog invasion, is Hekt, H-E-K-T. And that's a frog goddess. Boy, that's a wonderful thing to have, is a frog goddess, isn't it? But that's what people are foolish. People bow down to anything and everything. They do it same way today. We maybe don't have the statues and don't go for the frog gods and the god of the Nile and the lice that's coming up is Seb, S-E-B. That's the earth god. We don't, you know, as such, worship a given god, but we worship those things just like that. You'll worship your boat, you'll worship your house, you'll worship your possessions, maybe all your money that you have. That's your god, and you're not gonna. I'm not gonna spend my god. That's gonna kill me if I spend my god. Well, you're gonna die anyway, and you're gonna go to hell. You just will spend it and enjoy it here upon this earth because it's gonna. You can hand it on to your next generation if you want to. You can take it into the grave if you want to. It doesn't matter because you're not going to be able to spend it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it in the blessings of praising and honoring God. Here we have the frogs. If thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, into the house of thy servants, upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs, which is the dough, and the frogs shall come up both to thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. Now, look what is going to happen when this plague of the frogs come. There is going to be so many frogs, and if you have read it before, you'll remember that when the frogs died, they collected and there were piles of them, mounds of these frogs. And they just come from everywhere, and they went everywhere. The Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was not exempt. Those frogs, no matter how many people tried, they tried to keep them. You know, I don't know if you've ever had ants in your house, but you can just try everything, try and get rid of them ants. And they just keep coming. They just come from seemingly every direction, and they're everywhere. Well, if you can just imagine that these would be frogs. And these frogs were every place. They were in the bedchamber. They weren't just in the bedroom. They were in your bed and into the house of thy servants. Not just you, not just Pharaoh, not just the Egyptians, but also they're going to be in the servants' quarters. It's going to be everywhere. You're going to open the door of the oven, and there's going to be frogs in there. You're gonna realize that the dough that you're making for making the bread, you're gonna all of a sudden there's frogs in there. They're everywhere. And verse 5, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. The water had been restored. It was that plague was finished. There was a time element to it. There's always a time, and you'll notice each time that God gives Pharaoh an opportunity to confess, to turn unto the Lord. He gives him an opportunity, if he's not going to do that, just to let the people go. He has an opportunity. God just didn't sit down and hand these 10 plagues to Pharaoh. He started out with the first one, which was not a plague, but it was the serpent, rod to a serpent, started with that. Went from there then step by step by step, and we come to the water and to blood. Every inch of water turned to blood. Now we've got these frogs, and these frogs are everywhere. And he stretched forth his hand, and the frogs came forth across the land of Egypt. Verse 6, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The magicians did so with the enchantments and brought forth frogs upon the land of Egypt. How smart are they? How smart are they? You know, people of this world are same way. You know, the plague has come. They got frogs everywhere, in the bedroom, in the bed, the servants' quarters, in the dough, in the ovens. They're everywhere. And here the magicians come up and make more. Now, how can the magicians do this? Again, devil is very powerful. The devil's very, very powerful. And so, and he's a mimic. And you got to see this here, because today so many of our churches are driven and guided by Satan himself, but they're doing what God asks them to do. He asks them to come and sing, and so we come give our money, we do all those things, but what the devil forgets to tell you about. And what these churches are not preaching about, they're not preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not telling folks how to be saved. They're not telling folks they're dying and going to hell. They're not telling folks that. They're telling part of the story. Just part of the story. Come, lift up your voices. God will hear your prayers. Lift up your voices. God will hear your song. He will not. Not until the day you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so, you see, these magicians, they're mimicking what God's power is doing. It's not full-blown. It's nothing in that strength and something they can't do. They can't get rid of the frogs. They couldn't get rid of the blood and the water. Once they do something, that's it. It's destroyed that waterway, but God can clean it back up. And he did. The frogs come, and there's a point in time here as we get on down into this story here, what's going to happen. And don't think this didn't happen. This happened. This happened. This took place. This isn't just a story so we can get a point across. It happened. It happened to this Pharaoh in Egypt because these Israelites needed to go honor and praise their God. Let's go 3 days that we may honor and praise our God. Pharaoh says no. He will not let them go. And so here we come, Pharaoh's people, they mimicked, and so do the devil's preachers today in our church today, mimic what God wants. But it's fake and phony, and it's not real, and it has no saving power, none whatsoever. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. Now, boy, this thing's changing. That he may take away the frogs from me. That's how many they were. And from my people. And I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Look at the power of God. His magicians can't do that, or they'd have done it. Pharaoh wouldn't have needed the God of Israel. He wouldn't have needed Aaron and Moses. Isn't it something here that Pharaoh isn't touching Aaron and Moses? You'd think that Pharaoh would have brought them to right before all the nation of Israel and put them to death. But you see, they're God's men, and until God's finished with them, and no man touch them, there's no man can do anything with them. What a glorious day that we live in today in the church age. We can serve and praise and honor God, and no matter what God calls us to do, man can do nothing to us unless God allows it. And so we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved, and begin to serve. Pharaoh called upon Aaron and Moses and says, please, that you would do this. And so he asked Moses, he asked Pharaoh, Moses did, when do you want him to go? And he said, tomorrow. In verse 10, he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frog shall depart from thee. And from thy houses, from thy servants, and from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought unto Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together up on heaps in the land that stank. Now, that's going to be the end today. Time goes so quickly. I'm glad that you joined us. Please that you come back and be with us next time we're together as we continue this study. It is a wonderful opportunity to come to walk with Jesus Christ, but you've got to know Him as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?